Mark DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings once again. In that name which is above every name, that name before whom every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. The Lord Jesus Christ speaking about the spiritual hunger of the human spirit and the spiritual thirst of the human spirit. He and He alone can satisfy that hunger and that thirst. Well, today we're continuing our study in the book of Romans, chapter 4, and so I trust you'll get your Bible and turn with us to Romans, chapter 4, the sixth book in the New Testament, as we're continuing our study concerning the Word of Truth and some wonderful truths that God's Word teaches us, as we're encouraging you to get into the Word of God every day and to study God's Word daily, that you might be a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of Truth, as we're told in the book of Timothy. Now, here in Romans chapter 4, and we're reading about the blessedness of faith and obedience to God by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the way of salvation and not of works. We've been talking about Abraham, who believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. And a covenant was made between God and Abraham, and the symbol of that covenant was circumcision. And Abraham and his descendants were circumcised, set apart as God's chosen people, the nation of Israel. This is a sign of the Jewish people, is that they are circumcised. The males are circumcised as an indication that they are obedient to the instruction that God gave to Abraham. But we see that circumcision is not necessary for salvation. Circumcision was for the nation of Israel only. And Israel did not understand that, and they thought that in order for a person to believe in the Lord, they had to be circumcised. And so God's clarifying this here through the Apostle Paul's writing here in Romans chapter 4. In verse 9, he says, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Was it before he was circumcised? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. That's when faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had, yet being uncircumcised. That is, it indicated that he believed God and was willing to obey God and to do whatever God told him to do. And that's why God made that agreement with Abraham to be circumcised, and that he would be the father of the nation of Israel, and they, the males of Israel, would be circumcised when they were 8 days old, as symbolic of that covenant, that agreement that God made between Abraham and the nation of Israel. And so we see it was while he was uncircumcised, and yet it was a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And, beloved, we Gentiles, the Jewish people are the ones that are circumcised. We Gentiles may not necessarily be circumcised, but it's by faith that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Abraham thus is our father, for he was the father of believing God by faith. And it was through him that the nation of Israel was established. It was through Abraham and his descendants that the law of God was given, which was our schoolmaster to show us that we needed a Savior. And so we see God has used the nation of Israel, and that's why the Word of God tells us that salvation is of the Jew. That is, it comes through the nation of Israel, which was given the law to open the eyes of the whole world to the realization that all men are sinners and all men need a Savior, so that we might put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus was born into the family of Israel. He was a Jew, and he was a descendant of David and a descendant of Abraham. And thus, salvation is of the Jew, because it's through believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who took on human flesh, and that human flesh was in the family of Israel. And thus, salvation is of the Jew, available to all who by faith will believe in Jesus Christ and accept him as Savior. Verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. And so he's trying to make it clear. The Apostle Paul's trying to drive home the truth that you do not have to be circumcised to be saved. Circumcision is not by which a person is born again. It's by faith that we're born again and become children of God. Circumcision was simply for the covenant between God and the nation of Israel. Verse 13, for the promise that he should be the heir of the world. And notice, this is a promise that God made Abraham, that he should be the heir of the whole world. That is, he would one day and his descendants inherit the whole earth, was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. It was because of Abraham's faith that God promised him that he would become heir of the world. And since he is the father of all who believe, it is to we who believe also that we will be heir to the world. Verse 14, for if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. If it's only to those through the law, then he said, faith is made void, and the promise is of no effect. The promise is broken, if it can be gained by the law and by the works of man. But it is not by the law. It is not by the works of man. Because, verse 15, the law worketh wrath. The law brings judgment, because no man can keep the law. Now, what is the law? Well, over in the book of Exodus, in the Old Testament, we see where the law was given to the children of Israel through Moses on Mount Sinai. And in Exodus chapter 20, and you might say, well, is it in the New Testament? No, it's not in the New Testament. It's in the Old Testament, and only those who have a complete Bible can look up Exodus chapter 20. But you can earn a complete Bible if you will complete all four of our Bible correspondence courses. Then we will send to you a complete Bible containing all 66 books of the Bible in one volume, absolutely free and postage paid. But you must complete all four of our Bible correspondence courses in order for us to do that. Now notice here in Exodus chapter 20, we see where God gave the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. This is the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the first commandment. He is to be Lord above all others. He alone is God. The second commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity or the sins of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now these are the law, the commandments that God was giving to Moses, who was an Israelite, on Mount Sinai, as the children of Israel were coming out of the land of Egypt, and God was taking them and making them a nation for His own people to be a witness to the whole earth. And this law was given that all men might see that they were sinners and need a Savior. And so the first commandment, no other gods before Him. The second commandment, not to make any image of any kind to bow down before or to worship or to pray to. To do so is to violate the law of God. The third commandment is in verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. How many times today you hear people using God's name in vain? They use God's name as a curse word. They use God's name in a light, blasphemous way. And they use God's name by disobeying God and walking in rebellion against God, and thus taking God's name in vain. And God says He will not hold us guiltless if we take His name in vain. And then the next commandment, the fourth commandment, verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Sabbath day was a special day that God set aside between Himself and the nation of Israel. It was a day in which no work of any kind was to be done. They were not even to build a fire on the Sabbath day. It was a separate day set aside wherein they were to worship God and were to rest and to meditate upon Almighty God. And it was another sign between Israel and between the Lord God. And then verse 12 gives us the next commandment. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. This commandment for children to obey their parents and to honor their parents. Verse 13, the next commandment, thou shalt not kill or commit murder. And that also is a commandment. Till next time, goodbye.